Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is Jen Young and I am so excited to bring you Tim McCann today. He's a personal trainer, he's a friend, and he's an amazing guy. So we're going to have an interview with him in just a few minutes, and I'm just going to let you know what's going on with me. I'll start out with the one thing that's going on with me is it's called the 21-day cleanse, and I know you guys have heard me talk about this before, but there's a group that I'm doing it with out in California, and they're called onelifefullylived.org. That's the website that they have, and it's a group of people wanting to live a better life. There's conferences that go on. There's one in Sacramento, California in October that I might be going to, talking about nutrition and that type of thing. And there was just one here in Westchester, PA 2 weeks ago, and I spoke at that conference. It was a real honor. So the founder of One Life Fully Lived, Tim Rode, he said, all right, let's all do the 21-day cleanse. So I was kind of shocked that he said, let's just do it right away. But it's working. Everybody's doing it. I'm getting lots of feedback on Facebook. So if anybody's interested in the 21-day cleanse, it's just a really great way to reboot your system and get you back on track, okay? It's not easy. I mean, it's no caffeine, it's no alcohol, it's no meat, no sugar, no dairy, no processed foods. So you're really cutting out a lot of the junk. But I'm telling you, adding in green juice and smoothies, so you really are giving yourself a boost that can't be beat. And when you feel so good, like after the 3 weeks, you don't go back. I mean, you might go back a little bit. You might start drinking a little bit of coffee again. You might eat sugar now and again, have a drink now and again. But it, for me, it reboots me and it keeps me on track and it keeps my healthy patterns going strong, because you guys know me, I can go off the rails. So, this 21-day cleanse, you can find all the information on my Facebook page called facebook.com/spiritual eating. So go to that page, check it out. There's a lot of posts on there up at the top and also down in the bottom, way down the bottom, that have just loads of information on the food plan, what to eat, what you don't eat, all about detoxing, all about exercising, just about living your life basically on this 21-day cleanse. And you will need to give yourself a lot of time out, give yourself permission to take a break, tell the people in your life, you know, you got to they have to have a bit of understanding and compassion for you during this time. So that's that. And so all the One Life Fully Lived people out there, I congratulate you. I'm there with you. And I love hearing all of your information and feedback and you know, your stories. So moving on from there, I'm going to be at a couple places here locally in the Westchester, Philadelphia area. I'm going to be up in St. Peter's Village June 6th. At Healing Spirit Cafe. It's a great little cafe right on French Creek. There's a lot of healing modalities that go on there. Alicia and Terry Phillips are the owners. They're just an amazing couple with great talent. So it's going to be a numerology workshop at 1 o'clock on June 6th. It's a Saturday. So come by and see me, or at least call me if you want to sign up. So there's only a limited amount of spaces. So if you want to learn about numerology, about self-awareness through numerology, this is the place to be. So that is going to be June 6th at Healing Spirit Cafe. Then I am at Kaleidoscope Angels on June 13th. And this is one of my favorite places. It's kind of far. For me, it's in Douglasville, so I do drive about an hour. But it's so worth it because the healers and practitioners there are so authentic. There's just so much, I guess you'd say, integrity with the work that all the healers do there. I trust Tess, the owner. She just knows how to pick them. So I'm going to be there for new moon readings. There's going to be a new moon in Cancer. So it's a really great time to move forward in certain areas having to do with Cancer, the home, the family, your health, your feelings and emotions. So it's a really great time to set your intention. So come by if you want a reading and we can really get your intentions going. You've got 2 weeks after the full moon to really max it out. And then 6 months later is usually when you see the results. So I recommend you doing this every couple of months. And then you mark on your calendar the next 6 months from that date, and you'll be amazed at how much you've accomplished. So that's June 13th at Kaleidoscope Angels. Check out my Facebook page for all that information on the events page. It's Jen Young Intuitive. So it's facebook.com/Jen Young Intuitive. Of course, my website is jenyoung888.com. You can go there and find all the information about me, where I'm going to be, what I do. I am always available. So if you guys want to message me or email me, that'd be awesome. I do numerology readings, astrology readings, all kinds of self-awareness tools I have to actually you know, look at your situation now, see what's going on, assessing it, and then tools that I use to move forward, like nutrition, exercise. I've got great people with me, like Tim McCann. So he totally takes up all those. I can send you to him, okay, because he embodies all those qualities. That's what I'm going to say. So he's a personal trainer, not just how you think a personal trainer is only physical. It's physical. It's mental. It's emotional. It's spiritual. He's got all that. He has a story that has inspired me so much, and we've met a couple of times. We connect so easily, and that's why I wanted him on the show, because I know he's going to inspire you. You're going to take something away from this interview. I know it. And I encourage you guys to call in afterwards. After the interview, we'll be done in about a half hour or so, so you can call in at 347-850-1433. Call in, ask Tim a question, ask me a question. I've got my health cards with me, so anything related to health, whether it's financial health, you know, physical health, mental health, emotional health, we're all there. So Tim, you can check him out while you're listening to the show. His website is tmcpersonaltraining.com. Okay, so www.tmcpersonaltraining.com. He is also on LinkedIn and Facebook, so you can check him out on Facebook under Tim McCann. And I'm going to bring him on right now. So, Tim, thank you so much for agreeing to come in today. So glad you're here. So, like I was saying, your story is quite unique, and it's kind of hard to, like, jump right into it. So tell us a little bit, just, like, where you're based out of and what you do, what do you do most, put it that way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jen, for having me. My name is Tim McCann. I am from Conshohocken, Pennsylvania, so I'm based out of Conshohocken currently. What I specialize in right now is in-home personal training, so no gym required. After having our discussion this morning, it seems like the avenue of doing some form of video coaching is the next avenue that I will be pursuing. So I offer nutritional programs, specializing in nutritional cleansing. I also deal in personal coaching that could be as far as recovery, spirituality, emotional, you name it. I mean, like you said, I could go on and on and on about, you know, how things work, the causes and effects, all these different modalities. But getting to train a person and coach a person to really understand and really realize their full potential and maximize that person is really where I thrive at.
So for you, it, you know, when you meet someone, I'm sure you assess them, you talk about their goals, that kind of thing. And so whatever they need, you can offer that.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So if for them, if eating is emotional, I'm sure you...
I can pick up on it right away.
I'm sure you can. That's awesome. And I have seen the pictures that you've posted on your Facebook page. So guys, go over to his Facebook page and check out some of the testimonials and the pictures. You take a before and after. I love that. Mm-hmm. And the change is unbelievable. And it's not just like building mass. You know, it's not just... you know, muscles. It's so much about how they look, how they feel, their energy level.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing.
Living balanced, too. My biggest thing is living balanced. So that is my biggest challenge as a trainer, is to make sure that everybody has balances going on in their body, mostly musculature.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as eating goes, I mean, everybody has to eat food. So food is the number one addiction in America and really worldwide, because we require food to live on a daily basis. So when people are challenged emotionally with something, usually they're going to turn to food, and that's even after overcoming an addiction such as smoking or drinking or drugs or what have you. They're
right.
going to turn to eating a lot of times because that's what they have. It really just becomes a really real metaphor for you're just stuffing your emotions, stuffing your feelings with trying to drown them with alcohol, trying to mask them with pills, trying to stuff your emotions with food. You're stuffing your face, you're stuffing your feelings. So when we can really work together to address why you're doing what you're doing, it can really get you out of that state and really begin to live a full, abundant, productive, healthy, balanced life.
Yeah, you said it there. And really, so many of us, when we're feeling low, we're feeling down, we don't look good, we don't feel good, we are essentially a victim, and we're in that victim role. And so what you do is you offer self-empowerment. I mean, in your way, I offer self-empowerment in my way.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so, helping people become self-empowered then they the rest just falls into place, doesn't it? Because if you're working out, you're losing weight, you're looking good, you feel so good, you're going to be less likely to self-sabotage with eating a whole pint of Ben and Jerry's, you know what I mean? Or drinking a bottle of alcohol,
absolutely,
you know, a bottle of wine in one night. So, you know, we've all been there, you and I. So it is about self-empowerment. So you really can hone in to the needs of your clients and the underlying issues. You bring them to light. You bring it up no matter how scary it is. And then actually when people see things in the light, they realize it's not a big scary monster. You know, it's just this issue or that issue that can be addressed. And there you go. I mean, you can see in the pictures that you take or that even that your clients take of themselves, the selfies that they take, the expression on their face before.
Oh, yes, the whole energy about the individual
whole energy,
changes.
It's
yes.
So
and
true.
I'll say this too, is when I first started doing all these different modalities, I took a before picture, which I was very reluctant, very hesitant to do. I did not want to do this at all because I really didn't have much weight to lose or release or anything
right.
of that nature.
Right.
And it really felt like it was a waste of time. But the gentleman, my business partner, Joe DiBianca, suggested I do it. So I said, okay, I'll take the picture. I have it. I'll probably never show it to anybody. And then a month later, I saw my own results. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm showing these things to everyone.
Yeah.
Because it was just that different. Mm-hmm. My posture was better. My
yeah.
shoulders were back. My head was up. I was smiling. It brings a new nutritional cleansing, just brings a new glow to the individual because, I mean, nutritional cleansing is one aspect of it, but
right.
when you can really get down to the emotional release part of it, that's where it really takes on a whole other life form. And what I
yep.
really pride myself in doing is just bringing light into some of the dark corners. So shedding light in the dark corners and really getting a chance to empower a disempowered society. That's the name of the game right there, bringing empowerment to the disempowered.
Absolutely. Now, talking about disempowered,
mm-hmm.
let's go back to your story. Let's start with, tell us your journey, because your journey is unique and you were definitely disempowered. I mean,
absolutely.
You
yes,
know.
I definitely had no power.
Absolutely. So go ahead and give us the general scenario of your life from when you were, if you don't mind, when you were young.
Of course.
Coming all the way up.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll keep it as short as possible.
So
we don't have to go into the long, drawn-out
right.
version of it. Now, when I was a child, my mother was raising myself on her own. So my father had gone off to college. He's a chiropractor now. She was a blue-collar person working essentially two jobs to make ends meet for her and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And with her working so much, I was bounced around from her to my grandparents and maybe somebody else. Now, when I would get picked up from my grandparents from my mother on Friday night, my grandfather was in the National Guard back then. So he had 8 years in the military as a Marine and then 17 in the National Guard. So my big thing back then was I loved G.I. Joe. I was, you know, full-fledged. I thought I was going to go in the military, loved hanging out with soldiers and everything. When he would pick me up, we would go to the VFW, and this would be at 5 o'clock in the evening. We would go to the VFW, him, my grandmother, and myself,
right.
and we would close the VFW. And what I mean is that we would stay there all night, and they would get drunk, very drunk, and then
right.
we would stay there until the VFW would close at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or whatever it was. And this is way back in the 80s and the early 90s, so people were smoking and drinking and
right.
all that fun stuff. But for me, I thought it was cool because I got to hang out with all the military men in their fatigues and their dress blues and all these
mm-hmm.
things. And that really began to shape what was going to eventually happen later on in my life with my own struggles with alcohol and bars and all these different situations. So my mother eventually found a man, and she married him, and then they had a child, my younger sister, who is obviously my half-sister. And my mother eventually found that gentleman, my sister's father, cheating on her. So what happened was we were living this American dream where my mom had the remarriage. She had the two kids. We had the two cars. We had the home that was, they were buying the house. So on the outside, as you know, as many other families, I imagine,
yeah.
are like this today. It really looked like everything was together in like this nice little neat all-American family package, and it was not. Because my mom worked so much, I guess she forced my stepdad into cheating on her, and she was a very controlling woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why he looked for outside situations to fulfill his needs,
right,
because she had her own issues going on. So we left, my mother and I, and then my sister stayed with her father. And again, it just began this whole cycle of my mom meeting a guy and then moving in with him and then leaving that guy and then moving in with another guy who is just like the guy she was just with.
So this pattern just kept going,
just repetitive. Absolutely. So all that I really grew up with was men in my life who were alcoholics, because, my grandfather was an alcoholic and my mother had just a keen, uncanny knack of attracting the same person into her reality over and over and over
again. Which we do. Order to resolve it, we keep getting the same situation because
it's familiar.
Exactly.
Which, we're broken down in Latin, it means familiar means that of family.
Oh,
which totally makes sense,
right?
Because she's just going to continue to attract her father back into her life.
Yes.
So on and so forth. But I remember as a kid, I kept saying to myself, I'm like, why do these people do this to themselves?
Mm-hmm.
You get drunk, you lose control, you don't remember what you're doing, you wake up, you feel like trash. And I just saw this cycle play itself out all the time. And I'm just like, I was confused as to why they would do all this stuff to themselves. So I actually didn't start getting into drugs and alcohol until I was 18. But once I found how good the alcohol and the drugs made me feel, I mean, when I went and I saw my grandfather or any of my mom's men of interest drink or do drugs, I knew exactly how to do it. I just had to follow what they did, which was just go and get it and go hard and just get as messed up as possible, as fast as possible. And then everything was a competition for me. So I had to be the drunkest, the fastest, the most high, the brokest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I always was just trying to be.
That's a lot of hard work, Tim.
Oh, yeah, it's a hard work to be a professional alcoholic and drug user. It really is. So I started looking around at all these different things when I was about 18. I dropped out of high school. It just wasn't for me. Felt like I never fit in. I had this whole pattern of how I was going to fit in with this crowd, and then I would fit in with them, and I would fit myself right out because I feel like I would outgrow them, or it was like I fit in for a little bit, but I was a misfit, so I didn't totally fit in with them. So I had this whole rejection acceptance thing going on all the time. And I just never felt good enough for anybody that I was with. So I always felt like I was too good, but not good enough.
Right.
Which was a really, really weird, strange duality to be in. But within the 10-year period of me drinking from the ages of 18 to the ages of 28, I mean, I just progressively just kept getting worse and more detached from people. So the end of my drinking, I was very isolated. My drugs of choice, and I'll say this just because of what it is, I was drinking all the time. I mean, that's just what it was. It really turned into a full-time job for me. So I would go to work during the day, and I was a union carpenter. So I would work all day, and I would go home, and I would fall asleep for a few hours, and I would wake up, and I was just so irritable. I just couldn't lay still to sleep all the way through the night. And I literally would just toss and turn in my brain. I could just not slow my brain down long enough to just get relaxed enough to fall back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I would start this inner dialogue or this bargaining. And I would say, well, I'll just go have one or two. That'll take the edge off. I can calm my nerves if I just have a couple. And I'll still be able to get to the bar by 10. I'll leave by 11 or 12, and then I'll come home. I'll go to sleep. I'll wake up at 6. Everything will be good. I'll go to work, and then I'll be okay. I'll be sober-ish for a day, and then everything will be fine. I'll be good to go, and I won't be, caught in the grips and clutches of drugs and alcohol anymore, and I'll be all right. So, and this what happened was I would go to the bar at, say, 10 or 11. I would have one, and I would have two. Begin to calm down. Well, sure enough, one of my friends would walk in, and all my friends back then were drug dealers.
Yeah.
So it was very easy to just say, oh, well, I'll just have one of what he's got. And then the next thing I know, now we're leaving from the bar at 2 a.m. and we're going back to a friend's house. And then now we're just getting high until, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And then I'm going to go home, change real fast, brush my teeth, take a shower, go to work, and then just do this all over again. So I would go to work still drunk and still high from the night before in, say, extreme weather. So I distinctly remember being outside in 100-degree days with like 98% humidity, and it was just god awful. And I would be operating machinery and equipment and just saying, oh my God, I'm never doing this again. This sucks. Why do I keep doing this to myself? And I would be drinking coffee in the morning and iced tea throughout the day and
energy drinks
all day long. So it was just a nonstop.
It was a roller coaster.
It was a roller coaster.
And one that you never get off.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what my life was on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Now, on the weekends, this is what I would do during the week. On the weekends, things really got fun because that's when I would start breaking up Oxycontin and mixing cocaine together. And that's when things really got interesting because I would go out and do that on, say, a Friday night. And then Saturday morning, well, all day Saturday, I would just be dry heaving everywhere.
Oh,
so, I mean, I couldn't eat because I couldn't keep it down. So I couldn't even swallow my own spit without throwing it back up 10 minutes later. So, and I remember I would be shaking because I couldn't eat. So my blood sugar was low. And for a good probably 12, 18 hours on Saturday and Sunday, I would be like this. And here's the crazy part of it. When Saturday night would roll around and I could actually swallow my own saliva, I would say, okay, I think I'm good to go again. And I would go back out and I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Get high, drink, and just mix my Oxycontin and my Coke together.
Oh, my God.
And that's what I did. And this went on for months and months until I finally got a DUI. And then that's when things finally began to change because it really made me look at the fact that I had a problem. And the real kicker of it is that rehab was suggested to me by my lawyer so I could essentially not really beat the DUI case, but at least make it look good for the judge. Like, here's this guy who's really trying to do something with himself.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was always getting into trouble beforehand. So it wasn't like it was my second DUI.
Okay.
And I was arrested for public drunkenness. There was one time I was arrested for criminal mischief. I was so drunk in a blackout that I thought I was going into my uncle's house and the door was locked. So I was knocking on the door, Uncle Doug, let me in. The guy who owned the house was yelling, he's like, oh, this is the wrong house, you're in the wrong place. So I'm like, no, man, let me in. And I actually broke the door to get in. I broke his storm door to get into his house. And after he told me I was the wrong house, I looked around and I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at.
Wow.
So I just turned around and there was a nice gentleman, a police officer, came up and he said, you're under arrest. And I'm like, for what? He's like, well, you're breaking and entering right now. And I just was like, no, not really. Like, I just at the wrong house. He's like, you're breaking the guy's door. And they called the cops.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And that was years before I ever even thought about getting sober or clean. So it came at the recommendation of my lawyer that I go to rehab. And he basically plainly just said, he goes, I don't know you. Maybe you have a problem, maybe you don't.
Right.
He's like, but at least in rehab, you can find out if you do or if you don't. And he's like, you know, if you do, you can address it. If not, well, hey, that's fine. And he told me, he said that don't even think about trying to beat the DUI in the state of Pennsylvania because they make too much money with these things. You're definitely going to go to jail for 90 days. You're definitely losing your license for a year and a half. You're definitely going to have a machine in your car to blow into to start it. And he goes, if you go into an inpatient rehab, whatever time you spend in the rehab is counted as time served. He said, so you go in there for, say, 28 days. You come out, you only got to do 62 in jail.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, and you'll still be able to keep your job. He's like, so you'll be able to work through all this. I'll be able to get you weekends. I'm pretty sure of that. So that's how it went. I went to rehab for 26 days. And 2 months after I got out of rehab, I put together my AA program. Began working with a sponsor, going to a home group, and really got involved with working steps and working a real program of recovery. And just like my lawyer said, just like he had predicted, I went to jail. I spent 32 weekends in jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I would essentially just work during the week, and I had to go to intensive outpatient small therapeutic groups. I had to go to safe driving courses. So my week was pretty well, it was pretty easy not to drink or do drugs in the very beginning because all my time was accounted for. Now, the irony of this whole situation is that when my weekends were up and I didn't have to go back to jail anymore, when I was at home in my apartment, my power went out. There was a huge hurricane that came through Pennsylvania, and I remember laying on the couch in complete darkness for probably a good day or so. And I was just laying on the couch and I was just laughing to myself. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I wish I was in jail right now because at least I would have power to read books.
Oh my God.
So, and I just started laughing, and it was really a premonition of how lonely my first few years of sobriety were going to be. So as I stated in my, when I first started off telling my story, is that my father was never in my life until I was 11 years old because he had gone off and started doing his own thing.
Right.
So I was 11 and I met him in a child support hearing case, and we met briefly, and him and I established a relationship on the weekends outside of court. This was all just between my father and I. And he started picking me up on the weekends. We started spending time together. And what happened is that he eventually stopped showing up pretty much. So I would have all my bags packed up and ready to go and go see him, and he would never show up. So there was a huge blowout one night. My mom essentially called him on the phone and she said, "Look, you can't keep doing this because you're killing him.
This is
not good for him." She's like, "It's killing him, and I can't take it as a parent. Yeah, I can't stand to see my son in pain. You say you're going to pick him up, you don't do it.
It's the worst thing, really, absolutely, for a child."
Absolutely, it really is. So I was, you know, was also struggling with the abandonment and the rejection and the emotional, you know, trying to figure out what I was doing wrong that this person didn't love or care about me. So he goes, "Okay, well, the Camden Aquarium is opening up this weekend." He goes, "I'll take him out on Saturday. I'll bring him home Saturday night. We'll have a great day." And that's exactly what happened. He came and got me, and we had a blast. It was just an absolute I loved that day. It was awesome for me. So my dad dropped me off that night, and my mom, my father, and myself were standing out on the porch. And we're talking about the animals and the this and the that and how cool everything was and how just a great, amazing experience it was for my dad, too. And I could tell that my mom was really, you know, she loved it because we were really establishing that bond that she could feel it, you know. And here comes my mom's gentleman of that particular time frame. His name was Nick. And he came out and he was belligerent on alcohol. He was actually drinking Budweiser. I'll never forget it. He's drinking a can of Bud in his hand, and he was just gone, just totally just wasted. And he just pointed his finger at my dad, and he said, "Let me tell you something, you mother effer." And he just laid into him. And my dad put his hands in his pockets, and he looked down at the ground. And my mom is trying to separate those two. And here I am looking up at my dad, and I was just checked out. I was gone because I just couldn't deal with it. So I went away. I just ran away, emotionally just ran away.
Yeah.
So my mom finally grabbed me. She's like, "Look, you know, just go run around the house. You don't need to see this." And I'm just like trying to say, "Dad," I was trying to say to my dad something to him. Like, "Dad, listen, like, speak up, stand up, tell him it's not true, that that's not the case." And the words just would not come out. I couldn't find my voice. It was gone. So I ran around the back of the house, and I just remember I was just standing there, and I was just crying and crying and crying, and like crying the cry where like, it's a silent cry because your voice, it's like it's gone. It's absent. You don't even know where it's at. And all I heard was the car door slam and the tires squealed off. And I just knew I would never see my father again. And after that, I was like, "F it, I'm done. Like, I am not letting anybody else get any closer to me from now on because people hurt people."
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just not worth it. It is not worth it. So like I said before about dropping out of high school, I mean, right after that, I detached. I was gone. I left town, and that was it. I wasn't there for anybody because I figured nobody was ever going to be there for me, and I'm not letting anybody in anymore so I don't get hurt.
Yep.
What I didn't realize what I was doing, though, is I was actually completely shutting off the valves for everybody to pour into me. I felt like I wasn't, like I didn't deserve to receive love from everybody because all they wanted to do was hurt.
And it was the pattern that you experienced your whole life.
Yeah.
Did you know any different?
I didn't know any different then, you know? So, but something interesting happened, though. I'll jump ahead to when I was at home alone in my apartment. I actually had a breakdown, or as I like to refer to now, as a breakthrough. My grandfather was always there. As much of a violator as he was always there. And every so often, he really would release a gem. And I went over to his house. He came and picked me up from my apartment. So I spent a lot of time with him in my early days of recovery. We'd watch baseball games. We were friends.
Right.
We were more friends than we were grandfather-grandson relationship. And he was telling me, or I was talking to him, I'm like, "Pop, something's got to change. I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I'm like, I have no friends. I have no car. I have no license. I'm like, I don't know how the hell I'm even maintaining this apartment right now." because I was just so proud of myself that I had my independence. I had my own place. Like, that really meant something to me. Like, at least I live by myself.
Mm-hmm.
My own prison is what it really was. But I didn't know any different, because that's what I really thought that independence was, is just being able to live and take care of myself on my own. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? He's like, yeah, life sucks for you right now. He's like, but you can't give up. You can't give in. He's like, things got to go on. So what are you going to do? And I said to him, I go, well, I feel like it's really time to start addressing some of the situations that really are bothering me, that I really think about on a daily basis. And I said, I feel like it's really time for me to call my father and find out what's going on with him. And he goes, well, he goes, I think that's a great idea. He goes, I'm your grandfather. And he goes, and that's all fine and that's good. He goes, I love you like you're my son. But at the end of the day, I am not your dad.
Yes,
now,
true.
The story with him and his father was, he met his dad one time. They went out drinking, and 2 weeks later, the guy died. He's like, so, you know, you got that to look forward to. And he's like, at least you know that you did what you could to find out. And he's like, hey, maybe the guy, maybe you love him, and you establish that relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you can't get a hold of him. Maybe he's dead now. He goes, at least you know that on your end, you did what you could to do what you had to do. And I was like, you're right. That night I called him, and the strangest thing is that because he's a doctor, I had this story that I was going to call his receptionist. She was going to take a number, and he would have to call me back, and all
right.
this stuff would go on. I called the number, and he answered the phone. And when he answered the phone, I go, oh, hey, Dad, it's Tim. He's like, oh, hey, bud, I was just thinking about you. And I'm like, what? I haven't spoke with you in like 18 years, and you're thinking about me? Like,
wow.
And that was, and I hung the phone up with him, and we had a great conversation. It was only like 2 minutes long. But that was the first time in a very long time I actually cried, and that I really allowed myself to just cry. But then right away, I'm like, well, that's enough of that. I got to just move on from this. And there's a lot of other interesting things that came into play with me, the meeting of my father. But after I began to reestablish or reconnect a relationship with my dad, and I really found out what was going on with him back in my childhood, I really came to understand that he would have been just as much of a violator for myself and me for him if he would have stuck around. So it would have just increased the situation of what was going on, which wasn't good to begin with.
Yeah.
It would have just made it that much worse. So now he's going through and he's working out his own issues, mm-hmm. and I'm working out my own issues. And now, because we're both recovering, we were really able to reestablish that strong bond that we both have today.
That's excellent.
And he really opened up a whole different avenue of doors for me with people who I know now. Because he is a chiropractor, he put me in touch with a whole wealth of and community of people who are healthcare practitioners, professional athletes, and things of that nature. So
mm-hmm.
it really assisted me to break through into that whole new enterprise. And if it wasn't for my dad, I never would have met the people that I know today. And I really am convinced that I wouldn't have met people like yourself or anybody that I know today. So it's just that one phone call that I was so afraid to make for the better part of 2 decades really changed things for me.
And I'm going to interject here and tell the listeners that, you know, on your Facebook page, you do videos every day,
yes.
inspirational videos every day, which at first when I saw them, I didn't pay attention. But then I'm like, well, let me listen. And now I listen almost every day.
Thank you.
And you had the story about calling your dad.
Right.
And how scared you are. So, I mean, to me, those little stories, all these little things are really very, very powerful. And they are inspiration for us. So that one that you did talk about your dad on that
yes.
day, it was like a couple weeks ago, that helped me in a family situation because I was going through something at that moment that was icky. So thank you for that. So
welcome.
I just want to tell
pleasure.
The listeners, like every day you can go on his Facebook page, on Tim's Facebook page, Tim McCann, and look at just listen to that video. And it's, you know, I every morning, like I'll do a meditation. I do my cards. I pull a card every morning. Well, that card, it's the cards that have like just single words like compassion or family or health. And that is the underlying vibe of the day, and I pay attention to that. So your message is like the underlying vibe of the day.
Yes,
I'm
absolutely.
I'm going to pay attention.
I just got chills.
It's just so awesome. And I'm usually, I don't know, I feel like I'm so picky and discerning, and I hardly ever go to any healers or anything like that. I have just a few people I really trust, but I don't trust many people. But for some reason, it's working for me, Tim. So I'm going to walk, you know, listen every day. So you guys, definitely, that is where it's at. So tell us now, let's see, how much time do we have? I don't want to miss out on you talking about what you do. So your story, let's wrap it up as far as sort of getting back to more into the present.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd love you to give information on like some of the story that you've had with your clients and the transformation that went on.
Okay.
So, all right, so you reconnect with your dad. He gets you into the health and wellness industry.
Yes, and that's a whole other story within a story in itself.
Right.
So what essentially where my biggest breakthroughs came from is actually working with a success coach. His name is Jeffrey Combs. And I went out to an event, oddly enough, named Breakthroughs to Success.
Was this California?
Yes, this was a trip to California.
Awesome.
And he is the person who really introduced me to the idea of addressing the cause that creates the effect. So the drinking and the drugging was all just an effect of something that was underlying with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always thought it was, I always thought that the cause that everything that I did was the whole event that shaped, that culminated with my father at that age of 11 years old. And from working one-on-one and from coaching with Jeffrey, I found out that it never really was my father. It was my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one who really put me into harm's way by making me become the adult that I was never really meant to be because she retreated as a parent, as a
and
person.
And her choices really
affected
you big time.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, she's the one who made the choice to but you know, and of course she made these choices, but then she's coming from a background that has
of
its
course.
Own story, right?
What other choices would she have made?
But definitely that the mother not really being there for you.
Well, she in her mind
she was doing the right thing. But
I'm working, I'm paying the bills, but she was never there emotionally.
Right.
No one was ever really there emotionally because they all had
feel like that. I mean, even though your grandparents loved you dearly, they were
learned a lot of bad habits from them, that's for sure.
Oh my God, it's funny now, but but at least they did love you. But yeah, you weren't getting, you weren't.
There was no connection. There was no internal connection.
Yeah.
Right. So all these emotions, and another thing for me too is that because I was around all these men all the time, they were just completely shut off from their emotional side. Like
yeah.
I really felt that there was something wrong with me. Because I have emotions. Like, I'm an emotional person.
Yeah.
And not that that's a bad thing. I don't mean, like, oh, my God, like, everything makes me cry. That's not what I mean.
But they were so shut down.
They
how
so
could
shut
you feel
down.
It's right for you not to be shut down?
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what you thought was the way right.
Right, because I felt that men don't feel.
Yeah.
Things like that. And
yeah.
the only emotion that I was really ever allowed myself to feel was anger.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what everybody in my immediate circle of influence, my grandparents, my mom, the guys that she was with, that's the only emotion that I could really identify with. And that's the only emotion that I really felt like I was allowed to experience because that was more aggressive. Anger was more masculine,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. So I really felt like at a very early age, like I was groomed to be a man's man, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like love, peace, joy, bliss, all those things. I'm like, that's what girls do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to put on a dress. I'm not going to put on makeup. And I'm not going to experience all these feel-good emotions because I'm a man.
Yeah.
I want boots. I want jeans. I want scars. I want tattoos. I want to go in the military. And that's it. I'm going to do all these things. I want blood, sweat, and no tears.
Right.
I want blood and sweat, and that's it. And when I really started to understand that that was the prime emotion that was keeping me sick,
mm-hmm.
and I could really let that go, or at least begin to deal with it on a daily basis, that's when things really began to change for me.
And
when
now you have that balance. You have the balance of tough guy, because you are. I'm sitting here looking at you.
Thank you.
And also you got total self-awareness thing going on here.
Absolutely.
And totally allowing whatever comes up to come up. And this is the thing, I feel like, well, this is another little side topic, but everybody's talking about the divine feminine coming back. Like, you know, like the goddess, not just God, that kind of thing, that kind of energy, the divine
right.
feminine energy needs to rise up. But it needs to rise up, but it be in balance. You
absolutely,
know what I mean?
Yin and yang, absolutely.
And it's just
got
to be balanced. So like in the 60s, women were acting like men, but that was out of balance. Now women need to be women and men need to be men, and being okay with all the different aspects of each of us, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's what you're helping to bring about as well. Like I work with a lot of women, but men need help now too, because what is a man? What does he... where is his role model?
Right, absolutely.
Is it Superman, or is it G.I. Joe, or is it, you know, Eckhart Tolle, you know what I mean, the complete, or some spiritual guru, you know? Men are all of that, And I feel like that's what you're doing. You're helping men realize that they can accept all parts of themselves. And
absolutely.
It's just a beautiful pattern that all fits together. Wow.
Right. So you also asked me the question about what are some of the things that I've experienced with clients.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, aside from them releasing weight and really beginning to change their lives on a dietary level, what I really get the most joy out of is when I can confront someone and really get them to look at some of the stuff they don't want to look at, and then really show them how to let go of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And really show them, like, I was working with somebody one time and they said, I don't want to blame people for my past. I said, you're not blaming anybody. You have to learn why you're doing what you're doing, so that when you're doing it, you're aware of it, you can readdress it and release it and let go.
Perfect, yeah.
So when they said that, I could really see a change in that person.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing for me, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, I do it just because it makes other people feel good. I mean, it makes me feel good knowing that I really impacted a person's life like that.
Yep.
My friend Jeff Combs, he says this too, and this really sticks with me, because Jeff has a very similar background to me. I felt an immediate connection with this person because we come from that similarity. Like,
yes.
I know why he's doing it.
Yes.
And the biggest thing he said was that he helps broken people recover so that he himself can recover his own brokenness. And when I see a person change that way and begin to let go of some of that stuff and really begin to heal emotionally, I can feel that too. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's my own healing that's taking place, or if they're healing, I'm feeling that, or if it's we're both healing together.
I believe, for me, it's a change in perspective. You're helping them shift their perspective. And as soon as they shift their perspective, their whole life story changes.
Yes.
And that is the beauty of it. And that releases a lot of that victimhood, that blaming mentality,
yes.
and a lot of the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw this great quote from, it's an astrologer called Joan Panko. And she said, suffering, like, what is the definition of suffering? It's humans not getting what they want. So we all have
definition.
These, isn't it a great
it
definition?
Is. It really is.
So, you know, I almost want to smack myself sometimes when I get all pissed off about something. It's like, Jen, just because it doesn't turn out like you want doesn't mean you have to go there
right.
and wallow in your tears.
Absolutely.
So our whole family upbringings are not what our expectations are being dashed. It's not what we need. It's not what we want. And like you're saying, instead of being in that state of complete suffering and despair, you've got to look at it realistically.
Right.
You've got to look at why they did what they did, and it's not hardly ever personal.
Right, absolutely. And I was just going to say that. It's
yeah.
not, yeah, I was growing up, I remember just personalizing and internalizing everything. I always felt like everyone was running away, and what did I do wrong this time? And it's like,
mm-hmm.
hey, it's not all about me. That person might have their own stuff going
they
on.
They do. So that really helps when you can get people to shift their perspective. That's
yes.
what you do. And then that just reiterates what you believe to be true,
mm-hmm.
which just, I don't know, it just takes you both to a higher level
right,
of
absolutely.
Living.
I really feel like what happens is it really just gets us closer to God.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that we're really ever really that far away from God.
No,
it really
gets
us to experience.
We think we are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We think we are. I mean, we are this Earth, if you ask me, Earth is the planet of limitation. You don't just snap your fingers like, you know, and something appears. You gotta go through the process. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's all Earth is process. And that's why we were talking earlier and you were saying you and I were both always like, get to the destination.
Right. Yep.
That one's better than that one, and that one's better than that one. And really, that's really defeating the purpose of living on Earth. It is the process. It is the journey. I know that's so cliche, but so is the journey. So that's
it's just
why
moment to moment.
Sit back, relax,
right.
keep doing what you're doing without these expectations. Just let it happen, let it come. I mean, that's the lesson you're learning. That's the lesson I'm learning. As a recovering alcoholic, drug addict, you're really learning that lesson big time.
Oh, absolutely.
And
slowing down is such a challenge for me sometimes because I'm so predisposed to go fast.
Yeah, full on.
Just wanted to run the freaking soles right off of my sneakers.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't go fast enough, you know? Like,
yeah.
there was just, like, oh, there's another gear. Well, let's get it. Let's see how
yeah.
what that feels like.
Yeah, yeah.
And anymore, the whole, now you have to take that identity of just flying around and being that top. It's just spinning as fast as it can and just collapses out of exhaustion to just really bring it back and to just be peaceful and say, I don't have to collapse out of exhaustion because I can keep going at a very decelerated rate and accomplish more. better.
It's true, and it's the also the I feel like the awareness of self-worth. We're good enough just as we are. You don't
yes.
We don't have to just do, accomplish. You know, I don't care if you're white collar, blue collar, whatever. It doesn't matter. And that's something that I feel everybody struggles with in this society. So, what are some of the ways that you decompress or that you bring that awareness to yourself, or any tool that you have to keep you in the moment?
That's a great question. I have a lot of tools that I use, and there's a lot of changes that I have made. When I first started going to Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the biggest things that I heard in rehab, they said, you only got to change one thing, everything.
Yeah.
So they also say people, places, and things.
Yeah,
and I said,
sure.
What people, what places? Obviously, you know, can't go to the same places I used to go. Mm-hmm. Got to get rid of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what things? So it comes down to every person, everything, and every place. So
true.
So I remember sitting there and I'm like, oh my God. And I already got so far ahead of myself in the future. I'm like, I had to change everything. But then I had a new idea and I said, well, what if I change the perspective and I say, I get to recreate myself and reinvent myself to be whoever I want to be.
Perfect.
And I said, wow, there's a new idea. Mm-hmm. And then that really gave me an idea of, it actually gave way to a new thought where I said, if my whole sobriety is going to be a pattern of new ideas and go, oh my God, there's a new idea. And then as I had that new idea, like there was an immediate change in myself when I said, I actually felt good about it. So I'm like, wow, that's different. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So some of the tools that I use today is I used to listen to heavy metal music.
Right.
I used to listen to gangster rap.
Mm-hmm.
I used to just listen to hard rock. You could tell everything is hard, gangster,
yeah.
Heavy.
Yeah.
So now I listen to easy listening. Light music, classical music, and so occasionally I'll listen to classic rock. I do not watch television. I do not tune into CNN. Constantly negative news. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do at all what I want
to
do. I still watch movies.
Yeah.
Maybe watch one or two movies every week.
Yeah.
Just because I still enjoy movies and I love going to the movie theater. I absolutely love those things.
Yeah.
But working with one of my AA sponsors, he said, your masculine side is so overdeveloped. It's time for you to start getting inside of your femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And what he really meant when he said that is more look at my creative side. So writing, drawing, going to art museums, going to plays, going to watch movies with my girlfriend, who is now my ex-girlfriend, going to movies like, say, I don't know, like Cinderella, where it's like a musical of Walt Disney. And
right.
Not the biggest fans of those things,
yeah.
But my biggest thing right now is you don't know if you like something until you at least try it.
So you're waking it up. You're waking up
I'm
that
waking
other
it up,
side
I'm
of
waking
you.
I'm mixing it up. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you're waking up. Yeah, you are. And you're kind of really open to anything and
absolutely.
Everything.
Yes.
Yes,
of course. Because life is just about enjoying the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And someone might say, well, what experiences? I say, exactly, what experiences?
Yeah.
Whatever experience provides its opportunity to experience today.
Yes, yep. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the balance that you're creating within yourself with the feminine and the masculine. And
mm-hmm.
We all have it. Like, we have, women have aggressive, I mean, look at the women athletes and stuff like that. I mean, and even just the woman in general, when she wants something, ooh, you know what I mean?
Love women like that.
But,
yes, absolutely.
She's going to go for it. So it's like, and in our society, that's considered a woman who is maybe like a bitch or something, you know?
Right,
or,
yeah.
Or just over aggressive and but really we've got all those sides that need that nice sweet spot, that nice balance there, and we should be allowed to express all of it. So it's great what you're doing. So now for you, do you meditate though at all?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What I do, Jen, is recently, this is something I just really started getting into, is in the morning when I wake up I say thank you God.
Right.
And that's just something that I do. I pray at night, and when I first started praying I was an atheist, but I said, you know what, if I don't want to go back to the way things were, so I'm going to do it, I'm going to try it, and even if I'm just praying, like, I'm just saying it, just because,
yes,
yeah,
so you don't have to say, it's this, it's that, it's
exactly.
Jesus, God, whatever, you can just say, you're praying to the higher,
right.
The higher power, because you know there's more than just this
exactly.
Incarnation right here.
Yes,
so
exactly. So
you're just putting it out there.
Just putting it out there. Yeah, and then some people call it source, some people call it God, higher self, whatever
mm-hmm.
you want to call it.
Yes.
There's just something that's, I knowing what I know now, I feel like everybody is essentially three people. We're ourselves, our subconscious, and our higher conscious,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even more than that.
I think
it goes into
yeah.
Catholicism too, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. the Father is the God, and then the Son is humans, and then the Holy Spirit would be the subconscious.
A lot.
Or how the Spirit moves in between. Yeah. Right, and I don't want to get too deep because I could definitely go off on a tangent here.
But in all the spiritual texts, and there's a lot of connection, there's a lot of symbolism, there's a lot more involved in that than we know. You know?
Absolutely.
And so you're tapping into that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And one of the things that I've been doing recently for that realm of my meditation is when I hear things like numerology or angel numbers, if I hear it a few times throughout the course of a week, then I know that I feel like something divinely is tapping me on my shoulder and say, Tim, you need to go research this. This is something you require to look at.
Yeah.
And I'll start looking at it. And then sure enough, within a week or two later, I'll meet someone like yourself.
Right.
And then I really get to find out what that's like hands on.
Right.
And then that will open up a whole other door. Like when you sat down and you read my numbers, you said that I should go look at theology or start looking at Alan Watts or Nietzsche. And then that opens like a whole other realm of doors and possibilities. So what I really enjoy about where I'm at right now is that there's just so much that it's just never done. I really like the metaphoric kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
It's like you ever look at a kid in a candy store, we as adults, we're looking at it like, oh my God, we have so much to do. And the little kid's like, oh my God, there's so much candy to try. You know, and it's only Monday. It's even better. Like it's 9 o'clock on Monday. Like I have so much time.
Yeah.
So really changing that aspect of like, I'm an adult, things are hard, things are heavy, and it just takes so much energy and I'm exhausted before I get started. Whereas the kid's like, wow, look at this. There's so much time to experience all these things and really go at it like a kid.
You are. So that's what I've been reading lately and listening to is that approach life from that childlike state of wonder.
Right.
I mean, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
You know, it's all there for you. Why not? So it's all your perspective.
Right.
Oh my God. So that's why we have to walk around like every couple hours and just check in with ourselves.
Right, absolutely.
Like, hey.
Check in.
Yeah.
Right. I always look at my friend Jeff, of course, again, he has this idea of checking in and checking out. And I've adopted the idea of the body being like a hotel.
Yeah.
Like if it's a crappy hotel, you're going to check out of it because you don't want to be present. Just like I checked out with all the traumatic experiences.
Right.
If you don't like what's going on right now, you'll check out and you'll be in your head. However, if the motel is nice and clean, you might want to stay for another day. You might want to actually check into that hotel.
Right.
So the nicer the hotel is, a.k.a. my body, the better I feel, the more I'm going to want to be present because the better I feel, the more I'm going to want to stay checked in this moment.
Yeah.
No matter how uncomfortable it is, I'll be like, you know, this room, this body right here, this vehicle, if you will, is nice and comfortable. I like the way it feels. I want to stay checked in no matter what's going on.
So it helps. So with physical fitness, I do believe that keeps you checked in.
Yes.
And that keeps you in that state of now, which everybody's talking about now, because there's never anything other than now.
Of course.
You don't wake up
it's
tomorrow and say, oh my God,
right,
it's the future. You know what I mean? It's now. So physical fitness, to me, when I'm running every couple of days and doing Pilates, that's what I do. For me, I feel phenomenal. If I don't look like some kind of model or anything, I just feel so powerful.
I look at exercise as being a modality of meditation. Yoga,
it is.
Yoga is perfect. Tai Chi.
Yes.
They're both forms of moving meditation.
They're all perfect. Like when I'm not running, I'm just so
busy, running
focused.
Running is another one.
Absolutely. You know, okay, I'm going to get to that next second, then I'm going to walk. No, and then when you get there, you're going to run. You know, it's like you're focused, so focused on what you're doing, you don't have time.
Time is not relative anymore.
No.
Right.
And your mind
can
rest.
Absolutely.
Well, because it's so freaking hard.
The Chinese, I believe they call it the Tao, being in the flow of the river of life, if you will. And I feel like getting into certain states like that, that is where the meditation comes from. It's not just being, you know, cross-legged in some weird position with smoke burn and all these different things.
Yes, I mean, that is great for the people who were taught that way. But
right,
we're not Easterners. We were not raised with meditation. So here we are doing the best we can
with
the tools that we've got.
Or what we don't have, for that matter.
A very good way to look at that. So,
right.
So definitely, all these things matter to you. You're a person who, your business, what you're here to do is you're here to help people transform into the higher, to the best that they can be.
Right.
So you use all these different modalities, all these different tools. And before we go, we still have a few more minutes, but I just want to go over your website again. It's tmcpersonaltraining.com. And you can call Tim 484-614-3899. to book an appointment here around the Philadelphia area. Or he does phone consultations too, right, Tim?
Absolutely. I can coach anyone, anywhere, anytime.
Call him, and he's just got there's so much knowledge you can give to people and coach them that way. So there's no geographical limitation here.
Absolutely not.
And soon you'll be doing it with video and, you know, that kind of thing. So you'll really be able to connect with people from far away and actually see them and help them in many different ways. So definitely check him out. Now, Facebook to me is my favorite place to go.
Me too.
For you. We love it. I love it. You love it. But I'm telling you, for everybody out there listening, to go to Tim's Facebook page. That's where you want to be. Lots of inspiring information on there. And especially his little videos that he shoots every day from wherever, inside his car, in the bathroom. I don't know. I don't ask any questions.
I like to mix it up. Yeah. Never in the bathroom.
Okay,
the
good.
Bathroom.
Good to know, Tim. but definitely, that's just, you know, when you, like you were saying, when something nudges you or you hear something and it does nudge you and it keeps coming at you, it's a sign to pay attention.
Yes.
So I know these little videos. Well, they really helped me, so I really am grateful for that.
Glad I could assist you.
I am grateful for that. So let me see how much more time we have here. So we've got about 5 minutes. So now, in a typical session, say someone calls you up and wants to book a session, in less than 5 minutes, Tim, give me an idea of how you approach the person. What questions do you ask?
My very first question is, what can I assist you with? Because everybody's goals are obviously different.
Right.
Generally, people reach out to me on Facebook to connect with me on what they can do to release weight, or they want to let go of, or they want to just even know what I'm doing.
Right.
Because they're interested, and I don't go in very detailed depth on Facebook because I cover so much ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, I do the best I can to tailor people's programs to what they have going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just because everybody is unique, not everybody's goals are going to be the same.
Right.
And because everybody is unique, not everybody's structure is the same.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing that I want to look for is what do you really want to accomplish and what is really in your way? Because a lot of times what we think is in our way really is not in our way. So I always recommend that you do the coaching call first, because there's no harm in just reaching out.
Right.
And just utilizing 15 minutes free consultation call or 5 minutes or whatever it is.
And
a lot of times, I mean, people just, they know right away.
Yes. I did notice on your Facebook page, you did have a little spiel on there about writing down, like on a paper, you know, like your goals. And what was that little exercise?
I imagine it's probably the one, I actually learned this one from Frederick Lehrman, is you take a piece of paper and a piece of notebook paper, and you fold it in half vertically. You write your affirmation on the left-hand side. So if it says, say your affirmation is, I deserve to be wealthy. I deserve to be wealthy and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe on your subconscious says no. So you'll write that on the right-hand side. If there's a response, you write on the left, on the right-hand side, what it is. So for me, say it's, I deserve to be healthy. And my response is no. So I'll write the affirmation again, and they'll say no. So then I get into an inner dialogue. I'll say, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I not deserve to be healthy?
Mm-hmm.
And then the inner voice will say, well, look at the way that you eat. You eat hot dogs and potato chips covered in chocolate chip
cookies. Well, I have seen some pictures of things that you eat on Facebook, actually. Well, anyway, let's just ignore that. Go ahead, keep going.
So you get into this little...
You get into this little inner dialogue,
and it always will lead me back to where it really comes from. But I always ask inner open ended questions to keep that dialogue open, and I can really find out where and who that voice really is.
All right, excellent. So for more of that, you guys, you know where to contact Tim. Look, Tim McCann on Facebook, tmcpersonaltraining.com. See you all next week for some more information on numerology for the next few months. We're gonna look at June, July, and August. Basically, the summertime, we're going to look at the numerology, see what the energy is for you, and help you use that to rock out your summer in all ways. But definitely, summer's here, coming. Tim is here, and he's really here to take you to that next level in all ways. And I love, Tim, that exercise, and I'm going to try that. It's like automatic writing almost. You know, you're asking yourself these questions, you're getting these answers. So tmcpersonaltraining.com, my Facebook page is facebook.com/JenYoungIntuitive. So we've got just a couple of seconds. I'll see you all next Wednesday, 10 o'clock. And definitely feel free to call in next Wednesday, and I'll do some readings then. So, Tim, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you and I will definitely be in touch. All right. All right, you all. Have a great, great week. Stay strong. See you on Facebook.
See you, everyone.